quarter 2019 trading update conference call. I'll now hand over to Filip Ludvig, Head of Investor Relations. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you and good morning, operator. Good morning, everybody joining us on this audio webcast and conference call. I'm Filip Ludvig, Head of Investor Relations, and I would like to welcome you to this call to discuss our Q1 2019 trading update, which was published earlier today. Just before we start the call, in a minute, one or two notes. First of all, the definitions of alternative performance measures can be found at the back of the press release for your aid. And in addition, comments about revenue, unless we otherwise indicate, will be based on a like-for-like basis. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Charles Desmartis. Charles?
Thank you, Philippe, and good morning, everybody. Thanks for attending our Q1 2019 trading update conference call this morning. Today, I will provide some brief remarks on Q1 2019 highlights and an overview of the Q1 2019 financial performance before I wrap up our prepared remarks, including our outlook for the year. After that, we'd be happy to take your questions. Let me also mention that today we're launching our comprehensive Transform to Grow program, which will boost operational efficiency and drive commercial excellence, taking Ontex to the next level by accelerating the execution of our strategic priorities and value creation. We will be presenting this in greater detail later today at our investor update event in London. So please move on to slide number 5 for the key highlights of the first quarter. Overall, we turned in a resilient performance in Q1 in an environment that remains challenging. Our group like-for-like revenue, that is to say at constant currency and constant scope, stood at 550 million euros, down 1.5%. Reported revenue, taking into account currency fluctuations, was 546 million. This performance was in line with our expectations as volumes were down, reflecting previously disclosed retailer contract losses, principally in Europe. We managed to partly offset this through improved pricing and mix. Like-for-like revenue increased in developing markets and in the U.S., while it decreased in developed markets as expected. And we saw revenue growth of all Ontex local brands. Adjusted EBITDA in Q1 amounted to 61.5 million euros at constant currency, down 5.2%. Adjusted EBITDA margin at constant currency was 11.2%, including the 130 basis points favorable impact compared with Q1 2018 of the application of IFRS 16 leases effective since January 1st, 2019. The resilience of our EBITDA margin reflects our successful efforts to partly mitigate volume shortfalls and currency headwinds through cost savings and optimized price mix effects. Adjusted EBITDA was 53 million euro, and the related margin stood at 9.7%. Net debt was 940.1 million euro at the end of the quarter, up by 17.1 million on a like-for-like basis, meaning after adjusting our net debt at the end of Q1 2019 for the pro forma impact of the application IFRS 16. With debt at Q1 end now reflecting the application of IFRS 16, our leverage ratio at the end of Q1 was 3.74. Let's now look at our performance in greater detail and turn, please, to slide number 7. Over the quarter, the like-for-like revenue evolution was in line with expectations, decreasing 1.5%, as mentioned in my introduction. We managed to partly mitigate the 4% unfavorable impact on revenue from lower volumes, with a positive 2.9% price mix effect on revenue for all divisions and categories. Our solid growth like-for-like in adult incontinence was driven by adult pants and the overall good performance by our own brands. However, once again this quarter, we face currency headwinds with an impact of 3.3 million or minus 0.6% on reported revenue. Let's please move now to slide 8 for the review of category performance. Over the quarter, we saw a solid growth of the adult inco category, while other categories decreased, in part because of challenging comparables. Looking at each category now, baby care, like-for-like revenue was down 3.2%. The decrease in baby care was driven by contract losses of retailer brands in Europe in 2019. Sales of baby pants continue to outperform diapers as demand for the product grows. We have continued to invest in production capacity to capture this shift in demand. And our local baby diaper brands posted higher revenue in the majority of our market. In adult incontinence, revenue was up 1.5% in the first quarter, even though we compared with the very high figures in the first quarter of 2018. Sales in retail channels, comprising our own brands as well as leading retail brands, increased by 8%. In the institutional channels, revenue decreased against a high comparable figure last year. Demand for adult pants was solid across both retail and institutional channels. Feminine care, revenue was 6.3% lower in the first quarter. Aside from the strong comparable a year ago, this is mainly explained by lower volumes related to contract losses of retailer brands in Europe, where most of our revenue is generated. Let's move now to the review of our three divisions, and we'll start with Europe on slide 9. Europe posted a like-for-like revenue decrease of 6.7%, in line with our expectations, from 253 million last year to 236 million in the first quarter of this year. Clearly, our decision to increase prices in 2018 impacted volumes through contract losses. However, we improved the price mix in all categories over the last 3 months. And as already mentioned in the previous slide, we recorded revenue growth in adult inco in Europe. A benchmark for our performance across key customer criteria conferred many opportunities to return to growth through a number of focused commercial initiatives which will be implemented in the framework of our T2G program, and we'll get back to this afternoon. However, considering the time lag in implementing new contracts, it will take time to have a visible impact given the dynamics of retailer brand supply. Finally, currency movement versus first quarter 2018 had a slightly negative impact, and reported revenue in Europe decreased by 7.6% compared to the same period last year. Moving now to America, Middle East, Africa, Asia. That division posted a solid start to the year with revenue increasing by 5.7% in the first quarter compared with the same period last year. Revenue growth was broad-based across the majorities of markets and all categories. We recorded revenue growth in the Americas, including in Brazil and the USA, while Mexico was slightly down on strong performance in the same period last year. We posted a double-digit revenue increase in Middle East, Asia, Africa, mainly due to a strong growth in baby care and adult inco, driven by both increased volumes and price mix effect. Sales in Asia decreased compared to a very comparable performance in the first quarter of last year. We continue to focus on addressing specific consumer needs in each category, in each geography, with our portfolio of local brands and improving our commercial execution, which will also benefit from T2G initiatives going forward. Our reported revenue in the region increased by 5.1% compared with the same period last year. Please move now to slide 11 for the review of healthcare. Healthcare revenue on a like-for-like basis decreased by 2.1% from 113.2 million last year to 110.7 million this year. This makes a resilient performance as we faced a very strong comparable base last year with like-for-like growth of 6% in the first quarter of 2019. Volume decreased as expected, primarily due to pricing discipline as we chose not to take on contract that we considered as insufficiently profitable. We posted a revenue growth in adult pants and a positive evolution on self-paid channels. On a reported basis, revenue was down 2%. So that's over for the review of the categories and divisions. So now we'll discuss the evolution of our profitability and EBITDA margin. So on page 12, at constant currency, our adjusted EBITDA margin stood at 11.2%, which represents a decrease of 40 basis points versus last year. This decrease reflects raw material increases versus Q1 of last year, in line with what we've been reporting over the past 18 months, which weighed on margins, as well as investments in brand building, sales, and marketing. Even though we are seeing stabilization in raw material prices, the year-on-year impact of last year increases is still significant on the Q1 results. We managed to partly offset this through a strong capture of savings with a favorable impact of 177 basis points on EBITDA margin and solid price mix with impact of 80 basis points. Finally, we also faced intense currency headwinds with an unfavorable impact of 8.6 million euro in the quarter, mainly due to the strength of the US dollar and the weakness of the Turkish lira. The majority of currencies in which we do business were weaker versus the euro in Q1 this year compared with the same period last year. The exception was the US dollar, which appreciated compared with the euro, weighing on the cost of our raw materials. Our adjusted EBITDA margin was 9.7%. Let's conclude now with our outlook on slide 14. For 2019, we anticipate continued but stabilizing raw material and FX headwinds. Pricing, mix improvement, and cost savings action should attain a full effect in the second half of the year. In this context, we expect broadly stable revenue at constant currency, with top-line growth in developing markets and lower revenue in developed markets, stable adjusted EBITDA at constant currencies, and CapEx in the range of 4.5% to 5% of revenue, excluding the T2G-specific CapEx that will be set this afternoon. So we'll conclude this review by just reminding you that we will host an investor update event, which will start at 10:30 UK time in London. The event will be hosted by members of the Ontex management team, and we provide an update on Ontex strategy and its implementation, leveraging the outcome of our Transform to Grow program. So we look forward to seeing some of you there. This concludes our presentation. Thank you very much for attention. I'm opening the floor for Q&A. As we are holding our investor update shortly, I will address questions on the trading update on this call and ask you to hold your questions on other matters for our presentation on T2G and the investor update in a couple of hours. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now start our question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. Our first question comes from Faham Baing from Credit Suisse. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Thanks for the questions. Two from me, please. Firstly, on raw materials and FX, if current spot rates persist for both, what impact do you expect for the second quarter on your profits, and what impact do you expect for the full year 2019? That's my first question. My second question is on Brazil. Are you able to provide a margin ex-Brazil? I would have thought it was a significant benefit to your margins in the quarter. So if you could provide some sort of quantification of maybe the movement on a quarter versus last year quarter basis. Thank you.
On your first question on the at current level of currencies and raw material prices, I think our adjusted EBITDA outlook for the year that I just indicated of stable EBITDA at constant currency reflects what we expect, and of course is based on the current level of currencies and what we expect, which is a stabilization for raw material from the level where they are today. So of course we cannot provide any detail. Further detail on the impact either for the quarter or for the year, but our latest outlook and what I just shared with you reflects exactly the numbers we came up with a few days ago, reflect the current levels and expectation of stabilization on the raw material side. Regarding Brazil, we decided to no longer report Brazil separately because we consider, even though there is still substantial work to bring Brazil to the level of performance where we want it to be. Brazil now is part of 2 years after the acquisition is part of the group. We see no further reason, even though, as you hinted at that very rightly, our margin in the first quarter, excluding Brazil, will be higher than the one we're reporting. But Brazil is on the right track. We believe the recovery will take time, as we've shared with you over the last 2 years. But we will not provide separated numbers for Brazil going forward versus the rest of the group.
Can I just come back to the first point? So I appreciate the guidance is in constant currency, but we do model our P&L on a reported basis, and at the end of the day, FX is part and parcel of doing business for any FMCG company. So it would be helpful if we could get some sort of currency impact for the full year. So it might be flat constant currency, but what is it likely to be on a reported basis if we assume current spot rates? That would be really helpful.
You know, again, I think we've been clear, and I mentioned that in my initial remarks. A stronger dollar today, we are dollar short, meaning our expenses mainly tied to the fact that we buy a lot of raw materials either in dollar or in contracts which are indexed on the dollar, therefore, and we're short in dollars. I mean, our purchase in dollars exceed our sales.
Yeah.
This is also one of the benefits for us to move into the U.S., and thanks to the footsteps we put in the U.S. over the last 2 years, we've reduced this exposure, but it remains a meaningful exposure, a significant one. And, of course, the strength of the dollar in the first quarter, my calculation is, on average for us, it was 8% stronger than it was a year ago, has a meaningful impact on the cost of raw materials. Same, we have we benefit, for example, the opposite of a stronger ruble in the first quarter compared with a year ago. But by contrast, also the Turkish lira is very weak, which is affecting our performance, both top line and also profitability. So we don't know what the currencies were, how they're going to evolve. We've increased our position in terms of hedging on the British pound in anticipation of the Brexit with or without deal. So we're a bit more hedged on the British pound than what we used to be a year ago at the same time of the year for the full year. But I cannot provide you with further guidance on the matter. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Rash Watson from ING. Go ahead.
Morning, Charles. Just
morning.
A question on Americas and the performance of Brazil. You appreciate that year-on-year you've shown growth there, but sequentially, quarter-on-quarter, Americas is actually down from Q4. And if I recall correctly, Q1 last year was an extremely tough quarter for you in Brazil. You pretty much ceased production. You were running out inventory. And effectively, it looked like a kitchen sink quarter. So it feels like you've actually gone backwards compared to Q4 rather than forwards compared to Q1.
Yeah, Brazil, and for my last employment, I know Brazil fairly well. Brazil is a highly seasonal market, which affects not only the retail channels, but all channels. And as our main customers in Brazil are the large retailers and the large wholesalers, we benefited in the fourth quarter of last year of the strong seasonal effect of inventory replenishing, not only for the year end, but also anticipating factory closures and the holiday season in January, because most of the plants are closed. Therefore, there is a strong inventory building at the end of the year. Also, talking about the Americas, Mexico, and I mentioned that in my remarks, but thanks for your question because that allows me to insist on this, has a very, very strong first quarter last year. And we saw, especially in the first 2 months of the year, a comparison with a year ago which were a bit more difficult. But March, on a year-on-year basis, the month of March was very strong. So overall, we're slightly down in Mexico, but again, against a very high comparable. In Brazil, on a like-for-like basis, meaning not sequentially, but versus Q1 last year, our sales increased.
Right. Okay. Thank you. And second question for me, please, on the increased CapEx guidance. Historically, you've run at around 3%, and then after the Hypermarket acquisition and the installation of extra machines in MMR, that guidance rose to 5%. Now you're back to 4.5 to 5, even after the phasing of that has run out. Are we to take it now that realistically 4.5 to 5 is actually the standard run rate, regardless of any acquisitions or any growth CapEx?
You know, I would say for the next couple of years, excluding the transformation to grow specific CapEx that will come on top of that, and we'll explain this in detail this afternoon, a range of 4 to 5% for the next couple of years is what you should is what we're planning, and therefore what you should take into account in your evaluation of the company. This is due to the fact that we're investing in new categories. We talk about baby pants, adult incontinence, adult pants, which are more capital intensive. And we are investing in all the geographies and not just in some specific market. Therefore, okay. We still have, even though we invested heavily in the renovation of our manufacturing capabilities in Brazil, we still have further investment exactly in these categories, also in this geography. So okay. for the next couple of years, 4 to 5% is the range you should consider.
And am I right in thinking those pant machines are bought in from outside suppliers? They're not self-manufactured. Is that correct?
We have, yes, correct, for pants.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you very much. Look forward to seeing you later today.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. Our next question comes from Ian Simpson from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. A couple of questions from me, everyone. Good morning. Firstly, on the margins, so 9.7, that's down 60 bips year on year, but you've had about 130, 140 bips help from IFRS 16. So your margins are down 200 bips year on year, and that's lapping what I would have thought would have been an easy margin comparator in Q1 18, because that was when Brazil was kind of at near its worst. So can you talk us a bit through the margin bridge year on year for Q1 19? Because down 200 bips on a comp that's down 200, 250 bips feels pretty high. And then just coming back to CapEx. So your CapEx is running at 1.5 times depreciation, and that's even after IFRS 16 has stepped up your depreciation pretty meaningfully. That seems odd, given that you've got declining volumes and have had done for some time. So are you under-depreciating, or is it just that geographic and product shifts mean that you've got sort of stranded manufacturing assets? Thank you.
To answer your first question, I think if you refer to the bridge, which is in the presentation we posted this morning, you see that on a real like-for-like basis, meaning taking into account the impact of IFRS 16 on a pro forma basis, on the margin of the EBITDA margin adjusted of the first quarter of 2018, our first quarter 18 EBITDA margin adjusted stood at 11.6%, and the one we're reporting today before foreign exchange difference is 11.4%. Therefore, 11.2%. So, therefore, the difference is just 40 basis points. So this is the way we should look at things. And if we take into account the foreign exchange impact, which was significant this this quarter versus a year ago, because, as we mentioned, the dollar is much stronger than a year ago, and the other currencies are weaker, and I explained the impact of a stronger dollar on cost of sales. So really, the appreciation of the performance should be between the 11.6% of last year restated for the performance impact of S16 with the 11.2% we're reporting this quarter. Now, regarding our level of CapEx, and to take your question from the last point you made, we don't have idle assets stranded in the old geographies, I would say. It's true, because we reported lower volumes in the first quarter in Europe, that the rate of utilization of equipment in Europe is down year on year, of course. But we're not considering at all dismantling or idling or retiring equipment. As part of our T2G program we spent this year and the rationalization of our footprint, there are a number of actions around our asset that we'll describe this afternoon. Our level of CapEx at this moment, as I said, is due to investing in the new geographies in which we made acquisitions. We talked about Mexico, Brazil, but also where we started a business a few years ago, Greenfield, be it in Ethiopia, in Pakistan, in Turkey, or other places, and also to the fact that we're investing into the new categories, mainly baby pants, adult inco, and adult pants.
Thank you. But on the, just if I may have a follow-up, on the margin bridge, I get that FX is a headwind at 150 bips, but in the absence of FX, you presumably wouldn't be able to take any pricing, because the pricing that you're taking reflects the FX and the raw material pressures you're seeing. So it just seems a bit odd to say on a like-for-like basis, ignore the headwinds from FX and raw materials that are priced in dollars, but to give yourself credit for pricing that is just passing through those raw materials priced in dollars.
Not totally. Of course, I mean, your point conceptually is valid, but confronted with the market reality, we don't. We do not pass on, and none of our peers manages to pass on to customers the increases in raw materials or other input inflation hikes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Manita Santani from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Could you please give us some color on the contract losses in Europe and whether you expect to get new contracts in the coming quarters to offset the losses that you had? Thank you.
I think more color than what we gave is a bit difficult because, of course, we cannot be specific, but considering the volume losses that we're reporting, these contract losses were significant. You know, you're familiar with the industry. You know that these are contracts for several quarters. Therefore, of course, we're working at regaining the ground lost. But the contract we lost last year will remain in force until the end of this year for many of them. There are contracts of 12 to 18, 24 months. Therefore, we already have a kind of a battle plan to be present when the new tenders for renewal of these contracts come in the quarters the first quarter. But as I mentioned, until these new gains or this reconquest take effect in our numbers, that will take a few for the quarter. Therefore, we don't expect any upside from contract wins that we may have in the coming quarters, or very marginal ones at the very end of the year.
Thank you.
Amita, maybe it's Philip. I can just add on to Charles' comment. If you remember a couple of years ago, we also chose, again, for profitability reasons, to not to go for a couple of volumes. And what you saw is the decrease of the volume started in one or two quarters, and then it accelerated before getting better. So it's exactly what Charles said. The, you know, the shape is it starts to decrease, goes down a bit more before it comes back up. And even if we're winning contracts today, they will not really be visible until at the earliest Q4.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Alan Vandenberghe from KBC. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having my questions. I have three. The first one is regarding the full year 19 guidance, which has been revised, in my opinion, downwards. I was wondering if you could provide a bit more color why you're now expecting a flat adjusted EBITDA at constant currencies there where a few months ago you were expecting still an increase on that level. The second one is regarding Brazil. I was wondering if you could provide a bit more color there on the underlying, without giving numbers, but at least give some idea how far we are away from the group average, EBITDA average, I mean, and what it will take further to reach that level. And then the last question is regarding the contract losses in Europe. I would appreciate a bit more clarity or visibility on to whom you're losing these contracts. Are we talking about small local players, or are we talking about a larger competitors? Thank you.
So regarding, first of all, what I said about our adjusted EBITDA for this year, what we said exactly 2 months ago on the 8th of March was we're expecting a slight improvement or increase on EBITDA on an adjusted basis at constant currency. What I said this morning was stable. Therefore, the difference between slight improvement and stable is we're talking about a small difference, and the explanation is very clear. We are two months later in the year, so of course our forecasts for the year are being refined. We have 4 months behind us of operating results, and therefore this is what is motivating the change for this year. We don't necessarily see the easing on raw material. We talked about stabilization. We still have to see a further improvement in this very important input for us. But, again, this is for 2019, stable EBITDA at constant currency. Going forward, and this is what we will present this afternoon, our ambitions for the next 2 years, and we'll set some milestones for 2021, are for a very meaningful improvement of our performance. But for 2019, yes, we go for stability. This is what our internal reviews are showing. Regarding Brazil, Brazil is not at the level of performance of the group, and Brazil is not the level of performance that we want. A lot of work has been done, and the place is very much in order. We've been stabilizing on all fronts. And we have a very remarkable management team there, a few expatriates and many very strong Brazilians, a few from the older management, and many from we brought from the industry and from retail and from other sectors adjacent to ours, who bring a lot of contribute a lot. The work that Laurent Nielly of completely reshuffling our distribution channels, our distributor network, is starting to bear fruit, but this is a very competitive market. We have strong position. We're number one in continence. We're number three in baby care. We're going to build on that, but it will take time until both for the top line performance and on the operating profitability, we get to the standards we want to be, but we're very confident that we'll get there. We don't set specific timelines because we want to do this in a disciplined manner, especially in terms of pricing. But that will come. We're very confident. But we will not provide you with any profitability gap between our overall performance and that of Brazil. Regarding contract losses in Europe, I think, of course, that's a question which and our performance draws a lot of attention and comments. As we said, considering the raw material increases, we had to take into account in the economics of our business in the last 2 years, we went for price increases in the contract business and the retailer brand contract business in Europe. That led us to lose contracts, and we lost contracts to a variety of players, and without being very specific. We are, despite these contract losses, we are by far the leader in the retail brand contract business in Europe. Of course, we see smaller local players bidding at very low prices to fill their capacity. But we will not follow. I mean, we have the scope, we have the strength, We're also developing export capabilities out of our export plant, our European plant, so that we will maintain this discipline. But of course, I cannot be more specific, neither on the identity of those customers from whom we lost contracts, nor on the on a contract by contract basis about the competitor to whom we lost this contract. But there's a variety of competitors of all sizes.
Okay, thank you very much. Very clear.
We have a follow-up question from Ian Simpson from Mark. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for allowing me a follow-up. So I just wondered if we could dig into pricing a bit, if that would be okay. So 2.9% in Q1 is pretty impressive. Is that the sort of run rate we should think about for the rest of the year when it comes to pricing? Do you anticipate sort of taking further incremental pricing? And you know, where are you in your negotiations? And then I know just thinking about FX and those FX margin headwinds that have been weighing on you at current spot rates, is the 150 bips that we saw in Q1 19, is that a reasonably good way to think about the balance of the year if we have current spot rates continuing? There are no sort of weird comp issues or anything we should bear in mind. Thank you.
The 2.9% positive impact that we report on the Q1 sales is pricing and mix, and we don't break down the favorable impact between the two, but the mix impact in Q1 was very significant. Again, with as we said, our baby pants outperformed baby diapers, and this is very positive in terms of average selling price. Also, the pull-ups, we see a strong improvement, as we said, and strong revenue growth in adult Inco, in light adult Inco, and our mix goes for more premium products. I mean, premiumization is for us a priority across our own brands. We're also helping retailers with higher range product to fight the big names, and also. We benefit in the first quarter of this year of the carryover effect of the price increases we passed on in the last three quarters of last year, especially in the second half. Now I cannot be more specific and confirm to you that the 80 basis point impact we had overall of volume, price, and mix will continue for the year. Now, to your question on Forex, it's a bit difficult to say, and I cannot be more specific. At current rates, of course, compared with last year, we will have a negative currency effect, even though it's a bit difficult to predict. You know, 2 months ago, you would ask me about the Brazilian real impact. I would say, yes, we will have a favorable impact on Brazilian real this year compared with last year. The Brazilian real is at 4.45 to the euro today. It was at 4.25 a month and a half ago. Therefore, it's very difficult for us to project and to tell you. So, of course, we have different scenarios and different ranges of sensitivity. But I'll let you, based on the indication we've been giving and your knowledge of the company, try to evaluate what it could be for this year.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on a telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on a telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Just wanted to come back on Farham's question on margins, and I appreciate the clarity you provided on the impact of effects on your margins consistently. But I just wanted to tie it up with your top-line aspirations of growing ahead of the market, as you wish, but also just holding margins stable on constant currency this year and improving next year. How do you account for a stable earnings algorithm? So, you know, what do you look at from an earnings perspective, given that you have no control over these effects?
I think from a EBITDA, adjusted EBITDA value and margin, we're working on, I mean, the usual factors for Ontex. Mix pricing on the one hand, and you saw how dynamic our sales has been in the first quarter of this year in the Americas, Middle East, Africa, Asia region. We see a strong fundamentals and a strong performance of our brands, strong performance of what we're doing with some retail brands in these geographies. So we work on again on mix, on pricing, and a main factor of the resilience of the performance of Ontex over the last few years, to look at the impact of the savings we've achieved in the first quarter in manufacturing, supply chain, R&D, and in the use of our raw materials. I mean, it's a very busy R&D department working at how to better use the raw materials we buy, considering that it's become a very valuable resource. Therefore, this is how we see that we can this year maintain our operating profit on an adjusted basis, despite, again, the contract losses in Europe, which have, as you saw in the first quarter, a meaningful impact on our sales. But as we said, this impact was very well mitigated in the first quarter by sales in the other geographies, and our view that this will continue until the rest of the year.
No, so I get that, but the clarity I wanted was the FX impact on your margins has been consistently negative as far as I can look back in your numbers. So it's always been a headwind for the business, as you said, probably because of the US dollar short position you have. But, you know, could you just tell us or share with us any thoughts on how you would plan to negate that impact?
Well, the best one is natural hedging. So the best impact, the best way for us would be to increase our revenue in U.S. dollar. And you know that increasing our business in the U.S. is one of our strategic priorities. This is no secret. We've been telling that, and we'll get back to this afternoon at our investor update, either organically or by building up our network there. So that will be the best natural hedge, but it will take time, of course. I don't have a long history, but I'm turning to my colleagues on the table around me. I don't think Forex has been always negative. I think we go back to 3 or 4 years ago. I think we had years where Forex was positive on our margin, and I have two veterans around me, and they confirm what I'm telling you. So, of course, if next year the euro was strengthening again the dollar or the dollar weakening, that would have a positive impact, and of course we would report it, this positive impact to you just as openly as we're reporting negative impacts today.
Very clear. Thank you so much. And just one follow-up. Just given your guidance for, it's largely based on the adjusted EBITDA XFX and your guidance for higher CAPEX underlying also and also the new CAPEX, just was wondering what's your leverage covenants at? And, you know, it seems that you're not probably going to have any cash incremental flow for this year after all the CAPEX is provided for. So is there any risk to dividends? And where would you stand at a net debt to EBITDA level by the end of the year?
Our projections show that we would stand with acceptable headroom in relation to our covenants. And for me, even more important, with adequate liquidity, which is something that I'm watching just as closely as leverage. And Mark Galli, our treasurer, is next to me and is nodding his head.
Perfect. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Ian Simpson from Barclays. Go ahead.
Thank you very much for your patience in consistently taking my questions. I wondered if we could go a bit further up the P&L. I mean, I know you've talked about EBITDA margin, and we spent quite a lot of time on that and the moving parts. Can you give us a sense as to what gross margin is doing or how we should think about, you know, you've given EBITDA margin for the year. Can you give us a sense, how should we think about the gross margin and SG&A within that? Any color you can share or anything we should bear in mind would be very useful. Thank you.
We don't share a lot on this, as you know. Again, we are on the G&A side, considering the the challenging conditions. We are extremely tight on cost control. What we continue to do, and we made it clear, and it shows in our EBITDA bridge, we continue to invest in our brands, in sales and marketing resources wherever we believe we have to, in particular in the new markets where we are. On the gross margin side, look at the weight of savings, which are savings entirely in cost of sales, and how much if you just don't take first quarter this year, but the last 2 years. In the performance of our operations group has been amazing. We believe it will continue to do so, and largely offset the impact of lower volumes and of higher raw material cost for this year. Again, this is what allows us to maintain our stable adjusted EBITDA in volume for this year compared with the year before.
Thank you.
We have no further questions. Dear speakers, back to you.
Thank you all for joining us today. We are working hard to improve performance and accelerate the transformation of Ontex. So we look forward to speaking with some of you, many, we hope, at our investor update about our strategy in a couple hours from now in London. Goodbye, and have a good day.